We have a blockbuster deal in the NFL. The Giants trading away Odell Beckham to the Browns. They get back a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers. Now that Odell Beckham is in the fold, Seth, are the Browns going to win the AFC North in 2019?
Well, the Ravens are losing every single one of their players other than Lamar Jackson, apparently.
Yes.
And the Steelers are without Le'Veon Bell, but they were already without Le'Veon Bell last year.
No Antonio Brown.
The big question is, without Antonio Brown, it's not as simple as Juju Smith-Schuster just stepping in. Antonio Brown got double-teamed 10 times as often as Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't want to do this. I hate to... Oh, boy, it's going to be the Browns. The Browns are the favorite, right? Are the odds out yet?
The odds are not. I haven't seen the odds yet.
Okay.
I have not seen the odds yet. But
this is what the Browns are. You know what the Browns have become? The Browns are the Bengals plus money. They don't care. Just like the Bengals, the Browns don't care about character whatsoever. So they'll bring anybody and everybody and get them in a discount. They'll get Kareem Hunt. Very good football player. Very poor morals. Very poor character. But they'll get him in a discount, and then they'll also spend money for guys like Odell Beckham Jr. It's the best of both worlds. It's almost like you take the competitiveness on the checkbook side of the Dallas Cowboys, and you marry it to the lack of concern about character from the Bengals, and it's kind of scary what this might create.
And now
it's
going to
be like a Frankenstein's monster of talent and money and cash. God bless the strippers in Cleveland. It's about to be a boon.
Okay, so I said earlier this week that I still expect, after the Steelers lost Antonio Brown, for Pittsburgh to win the AFC North. That is now subject to revision because of this Odell trade, plus the reports that are saying that the Browns may sign Earl Thomas. I will say this. The Browns are going to be must-watch television. With Baker Mayfield, with Landry, with Odell Beckham, all the talent they have, Myles Garrett as well.
And
that is going to be a team that you will want to see on national TV.
This would be the question. This is the big question. My only question for the Browns right now is, who exactly is Freddie Kitchens again? I don't know. Like,
that's one of my reservations.
The track record of promoting coordinators from within for their first head coaching job has not been a good one, largely. It works out sometimes, but more times than not, it's really, really bad. Nobody really knows what the hell Freddie Kitchens is.
Yes.
Or what he can do as a head coach. So that's a big question. There are a whole lot of egos and a whole lot of paychecks potentially in this locker room.
The other thing about Freddie Kitchens is now he's got pressure on him. This is not a first-time head coach who's like, hey, this is a rebuild. We can kind of ramp this up. We can go, you know, 8-8 and view this as promising. No, the expectations for Freddie Kitchens with Odell Beckham in the fold and Baker Mayfield and all that talent is going to be make the playoffs.
Last year, Freddie Kitchens' best motivation was basically, hey, guys, I'm not Hugh Jackson. And everyone's like, yeah, let's go fight and kill. Now it's a different deal.
Exactly.
Now he's actually going to have to coach a team.
Up next in headlines, one day after losing safeties Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson, the Texans beefed up their secondary by signing safety Tashaun Gibson from the Jaguars and cornerback Bradley Roby from the Broncos. Gibson, who is from the Dallas area, that's where he went to high school, excited to be back in his home state on Texans Radio.
Feeling just being back in the state of Texas is just awesome, amazing feeling right now. And that's just one of the biggest things that I take away from this, man, is I took for granted, man, being able to be close to home, playing in front of my family. And, you know, you always got to understand, man, football is such a big deal out here. And, you know, coming back in this environment, you really can't beat this. I couldn't have scripted my career to land and fall in a better environment than it is right now.
Gibson gets a 3-year deal while Houston gives Roby a 1-year deal for $10 million. How satisfied are you with these two signings, Gibson at safety and Roby at corner?
I feel great about the Tashaun Gibson signing. I think that in a lot of ways he's going to be a bigger asset versus tight ends than Tyrann Mathieu was. He's not going to be as versatile, so he's going to be more of a true safety. But he's at a much better rate, a much better pay rate than Tyrann Mathieu. So I feel good about that. Bradley Roby was a necessary signing, and it's the exact right terms for this contract. It's a 1-year prove-it deal, where he can come in and show that he can be a more consistent cornerback than perhaps he was over the last several years. He does have the physical ability and talent to do it. He just needs to really blossom. And maybe the Texans lose out on him in free agency in the future. I like the actual deal. I mean, one note about Tashaun Gibson. Various pronunciation guides say either Tayshawn or Tushon.
And I think he's saying now Tushon.
So I'm
we'll
not going
to lose any sleep over it. I'm going to say whatever the hell damn I want. Because same thing with Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney, the pronunciation guide at the University of South Carolina said Jadeveon. So I trained myself like, okay, it's Jadeveon Clowney, Jadeveon. He gets here and on the first day he's like, oh, it's actually Jadeveon. Well, you couldn't tell somebody at South Carolina those 3 years?
It's a weird deal.
So I refuse. I've boycotted. Same thing with Kristen Michael. Christine Michael, Christian Michael, Kristen Michael. I talk to people. Back when Kristen Michael used to be somebody that we talked about, I would get people from his hometown tweeting me and be like, no, it's actually, I don't know, Christine. And then I'd get people from A&M and they'd be like, no, it's actually Christian. And then I'd have like Seahawks fans being like, you clown, it's Kristen.
Ignore all of them.
All right. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say whatever I want.
All right, here's my take on it. I like the Tashaun Gibson signing. That makes sense to me. He's better against tight ends than Tyrann Mathieu is. I also like the Roby signing. I'm worried about his inconsistency. My bigger thought, though, on this is they need to do more at the cornerback position. They need to sign somebody else. They need to draft somebody else. They are far from being cured or solved at the cornerback position. That's where they're at. I think it's a good starting point, but they need to do more at cornerback. Up next in headlines, late last night, the Le'Veon Bell saga finally comes to an end. And the Jets signed the former Steelers running back to a 4-year deal, which comes with $36 million guaranteed. How will the Le'Veon Bell saga affect players who are under the franchise tag? Remember, Le'Veon Bell turned down a long-term deal. That seemed like it was more money than this one. He did not play for the $14 million, and now he gets this contract.
I see a lot of people saying, hey, Le'Veon Bell never actually cared about the money anyway. You guys don't get it.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy that for a second. Just because a player, I think there's an article in The Ringer. It says, look, it's easy to see he never actually cared about the money. Here's a quote where he says he doesn't care about the money. Like, all right, come on. Like, what, did you just start covering sports now?
That's ridiculous.
Now, I think he cared about the guaranteed money, and this is where the Steelers have hurt themselves twice now with both Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. It's that they structured deals for both those guys where the total number of, like, the total amount of guaranteed money written out in the contract wasn't that high, but the Steelers planned on paying it, and they traditionally have paid that money out. Like, they've traditionally paid the entire contract out. Problem is, the players don't feel that way, especially running back. So Le'Veon Bell, I think it was probably correct to be mistrustful that just because he was supposed to get, I think, $40 million over the first 3 years of the deal they offered him 2 years ago, that he didn't feel like that was the same as an actual guarantee. So he wanted to go and say, look, if I play this year and I get injured and I'm done, then I've only got a little like $10 million guaranteed with the original offer with the Steelers. I think it's more of a wash than people on either side are saying.
My take is I think that NFL players under the tag, guys like Jadeveon Clowney, are going to think longer and harder about taking the long-term contract that their teams offer them
right. Because
of the risk that Le'Veon Bell ran.
So you've got two.
Like, I was wrong about this. I assumed for the whole season that the reason why Le'Veon Bell sat out and missed out on $14 million is he had a really big offer coming from a team like the Jets. And it seems, by all accounts, like the Jets had a nice package on the table, but he was basically shopping this all day, and the Jets were like, nope, we are not budging.
Yeah.
This is the deal. You have until midnight. Either you are a Jet or you are not.
I think the difference between Le'Veon Bell and any other player would try to do it would be just simply the position they play. Part of this is all a function of the fact that he's a running back, and teams are nervous as hell about aging running backs. That running backs signed in free agency traditionally don't work out all that great. They're the exception more than the rule, the Curtis Martins and whatnot. So that's, I don't think this provides a lesson for, say, a defensive end. I think a defensive end, it might be a completely different deal. If you're a running back, you're just kind of SOL right now. Start playing, well, I was almost going to say play safety, but they're kind of, the running back / safety body type is strong safety body type, especially because most running backs would be strong safeties. Kind of in a rough spot these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Final headline, the Rockets hosting the Warriors tonight, a chance to sweep the two-time defending champions at Toyota Center. Steph Curry said this was a statement game a few days ago. Here was Mike D'Antoni's reaction.
They're going to come out and they're going to play, and they probably stated the obvious. And if it didn't say anything, I'm sure they're thinking it. So you know how the day is. Everybody's got a little, you know, something to say. I've got something to say.
No Kevin Durant tonight. I don't really view this as a statement game because ultimately the Warriors will turn things on in the playoffs. Do you think you view this as a statement game?
It's a big, awesome regular season game, and can we appreciate that for what it is? It's a statement game. All right. Everybody tries to be so damn cool with this stuff. This is where I'm going to tell you where you're wrong if you're trying to be cool about it. Because the players themselves will say, well, like, no, it's just one regular season game, and Clint Capela made a couple funny little jokes about it. The fact of the matter is, it's a really important regular season game because you have a chance for a two-game swing on the standings. You're 3.5 games behind the Warriors right now. You know, they're 45-21. You're 42-25. You could get up to 43 wins while they're stuck at 45 wins. You could get them within, what, 3 games in the loss column if you win this game. That's why it's a big deal. You're 2.5 games back from the Nuggets at this point. It's a really big game. All of them matter. This is a really hard one. You've got about 7 games left versus teams with winning records. This is one of those games. This is a big deal, not just because it's the Warriors, but because this is a chance to get yourself that much closer.
I think it's a big game for the standings. I don't think it's a big game as far as Houston Golden State goes, because I don't think they're catching the Warriors for the 1 seed, and I think the highest they can realistically gets the 2.
Okay, the Warriors have been humming along at less than a 500 clip since the All-Star break, and this would be one more loss added on to it. You just don't anticipate the Warriors. If the Warriors hummed along at a 500 clip the rest of the way out, then the Rockets would catch them most likely.
I'd be really surprised if that happened. Okay. I would love for that to be the case. I just think the ceiling's gonna be the 2 seed.
This is your banner. Yesterday you had the banner for fiscal responsibility?
Fiscal responsibility.
You're gonna hang a banner saying fiscal responsibility and NRG. Tonight we can hang a banner at Toyota that says,
we can get the 2 seed.
What did you just say?
We can get the 2 seed.
2 seed, not the 1 seed, not likely.
1 seed, not likely.
Yeah, come on. I know it's not likely. Lots of things aren't likely. Well, it's unlikely that the Rockets would ever pull off the Harden trade to begin with.
I would love to feel otherwise, but this is how I feel. I don't think they're catching the 1 seed.
I say you sweep the Warriors in the regular season. You've got a 8-5 record versus them over the last 2 seasons. I say anything is possible.
Mike and Seth on a Wednesday going through all the big moves in the NFL free agency day number 3. Here's one of my other big feelings this morning. The Texans cannot trade Jadeveon Clowney or even think about it if the compensation is going to be what it was. Last night, the Chiefs traded Dee Ford, who led the entire NFL in edge rushes this season, in getting pressures, I should say, on the quarterback. They traded Dee Ford, the Chiefs did, to the 49ers for a 2020 second round pick. That, to me, is crazy. They traded Dee Ford, one of the better pass rushers in the league, for a 2020 second-round draft pick. That is horrible compensation.
So let's just be clear for the scorecard so far this morning. Odell Beckham Jr., one of the best 3 wide receivers in the league, one of the best wide receiving talents we've seen in the last decade, gets traded for a mid-first-round pick and a bust of a player in Jabril Peppers, and that's like the best deal that ever happened. And now this is an awful, atrocious, horrible deal because they got a second-round pick for Dee Ford.
Did I say that the Odell Beckham trade was great?
I might be embellishing a little bit. You said you thought it was a really good deal.
I thought it was a good deal for the Giants. Really good deal would be... I didn't think it was a really good deal because when you trade a player of that talent... The whole situation sucks. Yeah. Yes. But
You're trying to paint that deal like it's the best venereal disease or something. It's herpes instead of one of the really bad ones.
I feel about that deal like I feel about the Rockets. I would love to crush the Giants. I would love to crush the Giants. I would love to come on the radio and say, the Browns are going to win the AFC North. They'll be a major contender in the AFC. I just don't honestly feel that way. In my heart of hearts, I think the Giants are better off moving on.
So you think the Giants really feel that way. The Rockets are herpes?
Not exactly. Okay. Not quite. But this Dee Ford thing. Now, the good part about Dee Ford is that the money he got was, to me, pretty reasonable in San Francisco. Dee Ford, the edge rusher, got 5 years, $86 million with like $45, $46 million guaranteed. That seemed like a pretty reasonable contract for somebody with his resume. And Clowney's a better football player than Dee Ford is. But I want to go back real quick, though, the compensation. They traded Dee Ford for a 2020 second-round pick. If I'm Brian Gain, that's not going to make me feel really good about what I can get for Clowney if he's on the open market available for trade.
There is something going on with the franchise tag right now. It does very much feel like the players are kind of prying the control back from the owner's hands, where owners had almost Jedi mind tricked players into thinking that the franchise tag was a death blow to their chances or their opportunities to get a good contract. And I think now players are just flat out not accepting it. And I think some of it starts, it really goes back to Dwayne Brown, who wasn't even franchise tagged, but was one of the guys that held out longest into the regular season and ultimately ended up getting a contract for it. And then you see other guys that are actually under contract, and Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr. force their way out, and not necessarily get better deals, but get into what they think are better situations. Antonio Brown got a better deal, and there's a chance that Odell Beckham Jr. will get a better deal. Dee Ford's a different nut because he wasn't unhappy. It's just he's a really good player. And
he was set to be paid
in Kansas City, right? But Kansas City also, because they have a new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, who's had some success, but has had some bad performances too. Somehow his scheme is so paramount that you're going to get rid of a good player.
That's absurd.
This is what I don't like about it, Mike. It's this attitude of, hey, I've got this scheme and we're a 4-3, not a 3-4. And Dee Ford doesn't fit my scheme. So we're going to get a good football player out of here and get a second round pick back in return
next year.
Because the scheme, like you've got coaches who think that their scheme is more important than having good players versus various other coaches that do a really good job of adapting their scheme to the players that they have. And like, I think that in today's NFL, that's what you have to do. You can't be strictly, hey, we're a 3-4 and we only take 3-4 type of guys. Sometimes you end up with a guy that ends up having a whole bunch more talent or skills than you otherwise thought. Maybe if you do a player for player trade or something where you get somebody that fits the skills and skill set that you want, then maybe so. But yeah, I don't get it.
I want to go back to this though real quick, Seth. When it comes to Dee Ford going from the Chiefs to the 49ers, also a pass rusher like Clowney, I don't think he's as good at, he's not as good at football as Clowney is because he doesn't have the resume. He's not nearly as good against the run, etc. But if you're thinking, if you're out there on a Wednesday morning thinking, all right, if the Texans can't reach a deal with Clowney, maybe they can trade him for good value. Isn't this a problem that Dee Ford only goes for a second round pick next year, not even this year? That would make me very concerned about trading Clowney and what that market would look like. Mm-hmm. That is not high compensation for Dee Ford at all.
So are you pulling the trigger and just giving him the long-term deal?
I would, yes.
You're right. And even I guess more so. Jadeveon's got to be wondering, all right, what exactly is my value? And am I ever going to find it out without actually testing the market?
Yes.
Because I don't think Clowney would accept the deal that Dee Ford's getting right now.
Yeah, I think he would want more money.
5 years, $86 million. Trey Flowers got, what, got about 90 million?
90 with like 58 guaranteed.
Right.
They'll need to pay more than Trey Flowers also.
Yeah.
But at least those contracts aren't insane contracts. You can work off those deals.